Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 293 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, there's been a bombshell in the news tonight, so this podcast is going to be kind of all over the place as far as order. But first things first, got to talk about it. So Trump has COVID. Very interesting. He posted it. He posted that he and Melania Trump have tested positive for COVID. Interesting that the name has changed to COVID from China virus. As soon as he got it, it was no longer the China virus. Obviously, the news is going on and on. Twitter is blowing up. The Dow has dropped. There's all kind of things going on. My initial reaction, obviously, there's a poetic justice and, okay. I don't wish bad on him. I have no sympathy for him. That's my honest feeling. I don't wish bad. I have no sympathy. We know that, you know, him getting the coronavirus means it's going to be the greatest coronavirus of all times. It'll be the best virus, the biggest virus. It'll be a far better virus than Obama ever had. And yeah,
okay. Well, it's a good thing hydrochloroxyquin is as cheap as water. Yeah, there's a little callback to the debates. I'm going to talk about the debates in a minute. But here's the thing. I'm not sure now. You know, initially when I heard it, it was like, wow. And of course, him being a no-mask person and claiming the virus was fake and this and that. I don't know what's true. Right now, I'm one of those crazy conspiracy theorists. All right. Or at least I could believe the conspiracy theories that he doesn't have it. That this is all a ploy to avoid the next debate. It avoids any questions between now and the election. No news conferences. He doesn't have to answer for any of these lies he told in the debate or any of that. I mean, this is a great avoidance tactic. So maybe he doesn't have it. I don't know. Here's the thing. It's the boy who cried wolf, right? After 20,000 lies in his presidency, why do we automatically believe this when having this? Because, again, this can all work out in his favor, right? So he claims to be sick, and then they do the 14-day quarantine or whatever, and then he comes out and he's fine. So he talks about what great health he's in, what great shape he's in, and that the virus isn't as bad as they said and all of that, and it fits into his narrative, you know? So maybe that's the case. Or maybe he has it, you know? Maybe it listen. He's 74 years old. He's obese. We know he lives off of Big Macs. He's not a healthy person. This could take a bad turn. Again, if it's real, who knows? So supposedly, I guess what happened, Hope Hicks got it. And she's a close advisor. And then they were all in Air Force One together. I mean, they don't wear masks. They don't social distance. They said everyone on Air Force One going back and forth to the debate, like 20 people, the Trump family and all of them, they could be spreading it. Nobody knows what's going on right now. It is Twitter just absolutely blowing up. But as far as I'm concerned, my friend Ida Rodriguez, brilliant comic, whom I love. She's a great, great woman, great comic. I think she won. Because she just tweeted, "I don't care, do you?" Which is a great callback to Melania's jacket worn when she went to visit kids who were put in cages. I don't care, do you? So, this is obviously big news. Now, some things that bother me, you know, in the news, when they said the leader of the free world has COVID, I was like, oh my gosh. German prime minister has COVID? Trump's not the leader of the free world. I hate to say it, but the United States hasn't been the leader of the free world for quite some time. It's certainly not during this pandemic. We're doing a horrible job. And the world looked to us for leadership, and we gave them absolutely nothing. You want to talk about leaders? What leaders have gotten COVID? Trump, the guy from Brazil, the ones who deny that, the ones who have denied it existed, who said it's fake, blah, 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 they're the ones who get it, right? So leader of the free world, meh, slow your roll. I had a friend earlier today talk to me about 10 years from now. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not ready to talk about 2030. Let's see if we can get through 2020. I can't be making plans for 2030 the way the world is going right now. It is, to call it a shit show is to insult shit shows. I mean, this whole thing is been such a mess. So there are people all over. Obviously, the right wing is going to be like, you know, don't make any jokes. Suddenly, they're going to develop sympathy and empathy. Things that, you know, they didn't exactly have when they said that Hillary had pneumonia, or when the disabled, differently abled reporter interviewed Trump and they made fun of him. There was no, but now there's got to be sympathy. And everyone is calling out already. I mean, because this just obviously blew Twitter up and blew up every social media and news source you can imagine. They're all calling out Fox News because suddenly Fox News is posting these pictures of Trump wearing a mask. Trump's worn a mask like three times. In the debate, he made fun of Joe Biden wearing a mask. But now suddenly Fox News just has all these pictures of Trump wearing a mask. I'll be damned. So let's see. I want to say he has it, but I just can't. I'm going to go, I can't even say 70%. The best I could do, 50-50 on this being true, because it's, and I might be crazy. Listen, I may be full of shit. I may be one of them conspiracy theorists and nuts, but it would just fit into his narrative. Like, there's nothing he wouldn't do. That's why it's believable. That's why it's believable that he's fake, that it's fake news. I just said fake news. That it's fake news he has a coronavirus or COVID, because he's told so many lies and there have been so many false narratives and so much bullshit that you can't say that he wouldn't. You cannot say he wouldn't lie about this. You can't say that they wouldn't go to this extent to tell this lie to get everything done really quick. And some people are saying that it looks like he's going to lose the election and this whole thing is just so he can bow out medically or whatever. And someone said, what happens if he did die from it? Does Pence become the nominee? What about the election? And who knows? Who knows, right? Because with the games the Senate's playing, with this Supreme Court and the cockamamie court we have. Yes, I said cockamamie. It's the only description we have. We have a Supreme Court that ignores the Constitution. So I don't even know what happens. What happens if a president dies weeks before an election? We can't say, because this Senate and this Supreme Court ignore the Constitution. So they're just going to make up something. I honestly don't know what would happen. I don't want to find out. I don't want to find out. I want there to be an election. I'm not going to say a fair election, because that ship sailed quite some time ago. Again, the voter suppression, the tricks performed by the right wing are amazing. Just today, or yesterday, it's after midnight, so we'll call it yesterday. The governor of Texas, and this is, they don't give a shit, but the governor of Texas issued a proclamation. They like proclamations. Right, and executive orders, anything that doesn't involve actually giving the majority what they want. But anyway, he made a proclamation that all mail-in ballots be delivered in person to be dropped off. All mail-in ballots delivered in person to be dropped off at the one voting clerk's office per county for, quote, enhanced ballot security protocol. Okay, so you have to take your ballot to the voting clerk's office, and there's only one office per county. That would be okay, except that Harris County, which is where Houston is, has a population of 4.7 million people. It covers 1,700 square miles, and they're all supposed to take their ballot to one office. Oh, and the proclamation also allows poll watchers to observe any activity conducted at the early voting. This is because they're worried about early voting, because early voting and ballot drop-offs, et cetera, favor the Democrats. It's just how it works. And it's been proven, it's been shown over and over that there's nothing false. And the people who have been caught trying to rig elections, trying to influence elections, trying to suppress voting, have always been on the right wing. They just arrested two clowns in Michigan. What they were doing was calling up people who had mail-in ballots in cities like Detroit and large urban populations, you know, urban, meaning black, who generally vote Democrat, and saying that if you send in a mail-in ballot, your creditors can use that information to go after you, and law enforcement can come after you if you have a warrant and so on, trying to intimidate people out of voting, because that's what they do. But this, to be done by the governor, this is a big one. And what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Take it to the Supreme Court? Why? Why even bother? Okay, so, all right, let's move on. Does Trump have COVID? I don't know. I'm not going to believe it based on him tweeting it. He tweets all this other bullshit. Why should this one be true? You know, the debates, you saw it. You saw the highlights, which are actually lowlights. You saw that mess. How do we describe it? Here's a headline from the Atlantic: "A disgusting night for democracy." That is as good a description as you'll find. I'm going to tell you right now, my favorite description of the debates was once again found on Twitter. Listen, I don't believe everything on Twitter, but every now and then it just drops genius. I mean, just absolute pearls. So this one was so, I love this one. I love this one. Tweeted by a guy named Chris Washington. Quote, "Never play chess with a pigeon. The pigeon just knocks all the pieces over, shits all over the board, and struts around like it won." Yeah, that was the debate. Playing chess with a pigeon, and Donald Trump was the pigeon. Now, I will say this. I think Donald Trump won the debate. I hate saying it, but I think he did. You know why? Because he did what he wanted to do. He bullied the entire proceedings. Chris Wallace, as a moderator, was worthless, absolutely worthless, walked all over, ignored, questions not answered, etc. It's just, he actually had some good questions. I was surprised, considering he's a Fox News guy, that he asked questions that challenged Trump. Like, for instance, he asked Trump, he said, "You want to end the Affordable Care Act. You have a new Supreme Court justice, which will help you end the Affordable Care Act, but you haven't come up with a plan. What's your plan?" And Trump, of course, danced around it, but that was a good question. But anyway, Trump bullied the entire proceedings, talked over Wallace, talked over Biden. Biden let him get to him. Biden got mad. You know, it's one thing when Biden called him a clown. Some people were upset about that. When Biden said, "Will you shut this guy up?" That was, you know, good. And then Biden had a thing of turning and talking to the camera as if talking to the American people, which was a pretty good technique. But none of it matched the bullying of Trump. I think Biden should have stopped talking. I have a friend who is a comic. His name is Gene Pompa. And Gene had a brilliant technique. We used to work at this comedy club called Tequila. Was it Tequila's? I can't even remember the name of it. But it was in East LA. It was loud and kind of crazy. That's actually why I liked working there, because it was a good test going up against an unruly crowd. What Gene used to do, and it was brilliant, he would lower his voice and he would talk more and more quiet. And the crowd would get quiet to hear what he had to say. And this is what I thought Biden should have done. Biden should have just stopped talking. Don't argue with Trump. Just stop. and say to Chris Wallace, just ignore Trump, because people like Trump hate being ignored. Ignore Trump and say to Chris Wallace, either you get this man under control or the debate is over. And I won't debate anymore because this is not supposed to be a shouting match. I think that would have been a great power move. I would love to see that, because then you put the whole thing on Trump. But instead, the world watched it, and a friend of mine whose sister lives in Singapore showed that a bar in Singapore called Level 33, that said, "We watched the presidential debate. Hence, we understand you need a drink urgently. Level 33 offers the first pint of beer on the house to all U.S. citizens till election night." Free beer. Help us. Yeah, it was, to call it a shit show is to give shit shows a bad name. It was absolute disgrace. And I don't think it changed anyone's minds. You know, Van Jones and some others talked about, so Trump was asked to denounce white supremacists and the Proud Boys, and he didn't. He said, basically, stand down and stand by to the Proud Boys. And Van Jones made a big deal of it, that Trump would not denounce white supremacists. And they try to make this a story that Trump would not denounce white supremacists. Well, I don't see that as a story. Trump has never denounced white supremacists or racism. This is part of his core message. It is part of his base, racist. And who do you think? Now, people have been talking to me about this, about the debates. They say that the debates are for the undecided voters, and that may be true. And if that's the case, Biden got in a few policies that he talked about, so maybe that would help sway somebody, I don't know. But I don't think anybody who was going to vote for Trump would be like, wait a minute, he didn't denounce white supremacy? Well, I'm not going to vote for him now. That didn't change anyone's mind. That would not change the mind of any Trump supporter that Trump would. And then, of course, the next day he said, who are the Proud Boys? I've never heard of them. And the next day he said, I denounce the Proud Boys. Oh, wait a minute. I got the COVID. We'll talk about the Proud Boys later. See what I mean? It that COVID story pushes every other story to the side. See, every other story goes away. But I don't think that's a surprise for Trump to not denounce racism. I'm not going to go through it point by point, lie by lie. It's been examined and talked about and this and that. Trump paying $750 in taxes. You know, it's a story. To me, it's a story and it's not a story, right? We're not. Are you surprised? Are you surprised Trump has not paid taxes? I'm not. I mean, that's him. That's who he is. He's a crook. So, according to the New York Times, he only paid $750 in income tax in 2016 and 2017. Thanks to colossal business losses that he made up. And he made up shit. Listen, he wrote off $70,000 for doing his hair for The Apprentice. But he paid no income tax in 11 of the 18 years that the Times reviewed. Some say, well, developers, they don't make a profit. They take their money and they put it into their next building. The only problem is that he's never made a profit as a developer, so that's all kind of bullshit. So supposedly Trump paid $95 million in taxes, but then got $72.9 million back from the federal, $21.2 million from state and local refunds. Finally, Trump paid an average of $1.4 million in federal taxes from 2000 to 2017. By contrast, the average taxpayer in the top 0.01%, which is where he is, oh boy, paid about $25 million annually. So there's that. He's claimed $315 million in losses on his golf courses, lost $55 million on his hotel. But he's got a bunch of foreign money. That, you know, that this is how he gets the foreign money. So somebody from some other country joins Mar-a-Lago, or they hold an event at a Trump hotel and they pay five times what the going rate is, and that's how they pay him off. He's got like over $400 million in loans coming due in the next year or two that, of course, he's not going to pay. He's not going to be able to pay, and there'll be foreign money in that. And he's, yeah, it's all bullshit. So he pays $750 in taxes. He's hundreds of millions of dollars in debt, and they call him a great businessman. Oh, yeah, he's the man. I'm going to get into my personal thing because I had a great personal experience in the past week. But before that, I'm going to hit you with one more thing just because I enjoyed this. So we have, just because I enjoyed this, actual entire podcast is because I enjoyed it, but then that's me. So we have a horrible nominee for the Supreme Court that will be confirmed by the Senate. That's already been determined. Her name is Amy Coney Barrett, and she's a judge and a law professor from Notre Dame, and she's got seven kids. She's Catholic and blah, blah, blah. Well, a few things. As far as Roe v. Wade, she forgot, I guess, she failed to tell him that she included her name on a newspaper ad calling for Roe v. Wade to be overturned and ending its, quote, barbaric legacy. See, that's the kind of thing that you'd want to know about a Supreme Court justice beforehand, that they have that opinion. But it doesn't matter. You know, she's against, she's, they call her an originalist, right? One of these people that believes the Constitution should stay as originally written and we should follow the original Constitution. Well, I got bad news for you, lady. In the original Constitution, you as a woman had no rights. You didn't have the right to vote. You didn't really count. So maybe we don't want to go back to the original Constitution. Maybe as intelligent people, we would look at a country that is hundreds of years old. It's been over 300 years since the Constitution was written. Maybe at this point, it should change a bit. Perhaps there are some things that have changed. And the other problem I have with this is she and many people like her, they're more interested in protecting gun rights than voting rights. Think about that. They're more interested in protecting the Second Amendment and the gun rights than your voting rights. So how powerful is your vote? Yeah, please vote. Your vote matters. Your vote matters. I know you feel like it doesn't matter. I know it's a shit show. It's bullshit. But your vote matters. If your vote didn't matter, they wouldn't be working so hard to stop you from voting. Okay? So please vote. If you're in Houston, I don't know what to tell you. One ballot box. I don't know. I guess we're going to have to try to trust the mail to get things on time. Mail it as early as possible. Mail it as early as possible. Then the delays in the mail, it should still get there by Election Day, one would hope. I don't know. But anyway, this woman is a Supreme Court justice, just another horrible conservative person. No sympathy, no empathy for others. It's originalist bullshit. But will someone please explain to Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary, that going to Rhodes College in Tennessee does not make you a Rhodes Scholar. Yeah, the Supreme Court nominee, Amy Barrett, went to Rhodes College in Tennessee, and McEnany describes her as a Rhodes Scholar, which tells me that McEnany is whatever the opposite of a Rhodes Scholar is, that would be Kayleigh McEnany. Just for those who don't know, to be a Rhodes Scholar is to get a scholarship to Oxford University in England, and it's you have to be brilliant. Like Bill Bradley, the senator, was a Rhodes Scholar. Yeah. Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm a Rhodes Scholar, some bitch. So, Let me talk to you about this past week. And I'm sorry, this podcast is probably going long. Maybe I'm rambling a little. I took a motorcycle ride from L.A. to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Left on Friday, got there late Saturday night. I was killing it on the freeway. I did an 800-mile day. I'm very proud of that because I haven't ridden that long in a day. On a BMW GS for the bikers who are listening and are interested. And it was phenomenal, except my ass was hurting. Man, that seat turns into a board. I gotta find a better motorcycle seat. But that's not the point. Here's the point. I don't even know what's the point. These are things I saw. Riding out there, leaving the bubble, which is LA, and I know LA's a bubble, going through Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and into Oklahoma. Trump country. I saw, I'm going to give it a total of 5 Biden-Harris bumper stickers, signs, and billboards total. There's only one billboard that I saw. Can't count the number of Trump 2020s I saw. Even a little mini Trump rally going on outside of Amarillo, Texas. I mean, this nation is Trump. And people have been, some friends have been upset with me for saying it. They, you know, that saying, don't put it out in the universe. But all I saw was, I saw Trump winning. I hate to say it, but listen, it's America, all right? This is what America is, sadly. And when you leave the cities, you see it. You know, I rode mainly on I-40. And people say, man, you should get off and take Route 66. Well, listen, I don't like small towns. And one of the reasons I don't like small towns is because I'm a black guy. I'm a big black guy. I don't really feel safe in a small town. Yeah, most of them are cool, but just my luck, I pull into one that has the wrong sheriff, and suddenly my black life don't matter. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me it can't happen. So that's the negative. Now let me give you the positive. I ran into a couple of great guys, just real characters. There's one guy, and I wish I got his name. I was in a town called Kingman, Arizona. And Kingman is a little town you pass through about an hour after leaving California, getting into Arizona. It's a cool little town. I'm getting gas. And this guy comes over, older white guy. I'm going to guess from his stories he was in his 70s. And he starts talking motorcycles. And motorcyclists, we just talk to each other about bikes. He had the greatest stories. He talked about his first bike was a Norton, which is an old British brand of motorcycle out of business. Now, it tried to come back, but didn't quite work. And he said that when he joined the Army and when he got called to war, which I'm assuming was Vietnam based on his age and the timing, he said he took the bike apart and put it in his attic so the bank couldn't repossess it. How great is that? And he had a bunch of stories. He had stories about brands that aren't made anymore, like Dunlap. He talked about a BSA motorcycle he had and how it would break down. The cylinder would blow off because the studs wouldn't stay tight. He loved the BMW bike I was on and told me to be careful in LA because they'll steal it. And it was just really cool to talk to him. And here's another thing, and this is what I loved. He reminded me of good people. He reminded me it's not all red versus blue and Trump's shit and all that. He's just a good guy. And it had nothing to do with him being white, me being black or age or anything else. Just a good guy with great stories. And I loved it. And I met another guy. His name was Ed. I met him on my ride back, which was another marathon, but great. I stopped in Flagstaff. Flagstaff, Arizona is a beautiful place. It really is. Just stop it for coffee. And this guy's riding a reclining bike from Oregon to Ohio. And I was like, how long does that take? And he said, well, I got about 30 more days. Said he averages 80 miles a day. Guy didn't look in great shape. I don't know if he could ride like that, but I guess he could. He said he broke his neck. After he broke his neck, he was depressed. He was drinking too much. And he got on that bike and something happened. And he's one of those guys, he bikes for veterans, you know, to raise money and stuff. And just, again, just a really cool, interesting, nice guy. Nice guy. So that gave me some hope. The beauty of the desert, the beauty of the ride, the beauty of this country, the, you know, the western states, we're just open. and you come out of, you first of all, going from Albuquerque to Flagstaff, right? You go up in the mountains and the scenery changes from the desert to the pines. Then you come down and it start getting hot when you come down. But I hit California and I'm headed west right into the sunset, and the desert is looking beautiful. By the way, the rocks of eastern Arizona, the painted desert, is just something to see. Just absolutely beautiful. But even where it's desolate, I just like it. And some of the crazy roadside attractions that they have, from the world's largest pistachio to the meteor crater to, there's a lot of dinosaur museums. I didn't stop at any of that, but it's just funny. I did stop at the Cadillac Ranch. It's outside of Amarillo off I-40. I don't know how many years ago, a guy buried Cadillacs on his ranch, like nose down to the hood. They're buried and nobody knows why. And people spray paint them and this and that. But it's just one of those unique, weird art installations to see. And I'm glad I saw it. It was cool. It was a good trip. I'm glad I made the trip. I got to take a kid on. The whole purpose of the trip was to take my friend's kid on a ride on a motorcycle. He was 8 years old and he lit up and loved it. And his mom said he didn't want to take his helmet off all the next day. And again, if you're a motorcycle rider, you know how much fun that is. And that was cool. I was 7 years old when someone took me on a motorcycle ride. I still love them. So I'm happy to have done that and maybe got another rider from the next generation. But it was good. It was good to see that part of America. The United States is such a big country. There's so many places to see in so many parts. But like I say, I'm a big city guy. So getting out of the big city and riding through these towns and seeing this, it was depressing to see all the Trump stuff. Another thing I noticed, the masks. This was interesting. So, you know, Arizona, there's tons of anti-mask people. Hadn't really heard one way or the other about New Mexico. Texas, you know, there's a ton of anti-mask people. Oklahoma, tons of anti-mask people. That was where Trump had to rally, where Herman Cain got it and died, blah, blah, blah. In stopping for gas, going to the gas stations and the rest stops, predominantly, most people wore masks. And by most people, 95%, I think, would put their masks on. Every one of the places had signs saying masks are required. The only people I consistently saw not wearing masks were white males. They were the only one. Like if you had to break it down by group, like what demographic isn't wearing masks, it was white males that weren't wearing masks. I don't know why. I don't know what that means. But they were the ones who were not wearing masks. And So, I don't know. Anyway, that was it. It was a great ride. Couple of things I'm doing that I want to talk about. One big one. It's called Saturday Night with Marcus Miller and Friends. Marcus Miller is a friend of mine, one of the most creative people I've ever met. He's a jazz bassist, composer. He has done everything from, you've heard me talk about him, you know, his music is the theme for my podcast. From playing with Miles Davis to doing the music for the movie Boomerang, he's played on over 500 different records. He happened to be the musical director for a guy you might have heard of named Luther Vandross. Yeah, all of those Luther records, Marcus did the music for those. He's fantastic. We're doing a series of streaming jazz concerts. It's with the company that does the jazz cruises that I always do, because obviously we're not cruising for the next year. So on October 10th, special guest will be George Benson, but we're also going to have Joey DeFrancesco, who is pretty much known as the greatest organ player in the world. And the following week, October 17th, a guy named Gregory Porter, one of the greatest jazz singers out there now, multiple Grammy Award winner, along with Patrice Rushen. Paul Jackson Jr. is going to be there. Eric Marienthal. Listen, a lot of you ask about jazz. I get the hit up on Twitter. People ask about my pop. What music you listen to? Check this out, okay? You just go to SaturdayNightWithMarcusMiller.com or go to my website, go to MarcusMiller.com. You can find the tickets. It's going to be great. It's truly going to be great. So I'm happy to be a part of that. I'm also doing a We Spark comedy event with Russell Peters and Ida Rodriguez. Yes, Ida, the killer on Twitter, who I love, and Russell, who's one of the biggest comics in the world, literally in the world, one of the most famous and a super funny, nice guy. That's going to be on October 16th. You just go to WeSpark.com and you can get tickets to that. And Just for Laughs, the comedy festival I do every summer in Montreal, is doing a virtual comedy festival the entire weekend of October 9th and 10th. Go to Just for Laughs website, hahaha.com. The entire weekend, it's free. It's going to have everything. There's going to be stand-up. There's going to be interviews. Everybody, Kevin Hart, Howie Mandel, all the big names in comedy, all the new names. I'm doing some virtual hosting. It's Steve Burns releasing his new movie about stand-up. It's just going to be great. The full Eat My Shorts short movie, short film competition. You can watch all the short films. It truly just going to be great. And that's going to be October 9th and 10th. So yeah, I'm going virtual again. They're shutting down the live stuff. Sorry, Seattle, I won't be there. Sorry, Lexington, Kentucky, I won't be there. These things aren't happening, but we are doing virtual. So please enjoy that. The coronavirus thing with Trump, let's see how it plays out. I don't know. This is just the first night the news broke a couple hours ago. We'll see how it plays out. I have no idea. Judd Apatow posted a tweet. We'll see where the line is with comedy. I say there is no line. These Republicans have been horrible people. Horrible people. So no, there is. I have no sympathy. I have no sympathy. I'm not wishing bad on him, but I don't care what happens. What'd you say, Ida? I don't care. Do you? Thank you for paying attention. Thanks for listening to the podcast. You guys are fantastic. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Wear a mask. Keep social distance. Read whatever the president did and do the opposite. Don't catch the virus. Thank you.